last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
This is the second episode of the second adventure, The Forge of Fury. A family of dwarves, the Stonehammers, have been set to task to reclaim a family artifact, the Gauntlet of Durgeddon the Black. But can they even work together long enough to free themselves from crossroad cages?
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So
yeah, Melusine like falls backwards and lays just in the dirt and just like lays there.
The snoop has been booted.
Where did Foggy kick you?
I imagine it's much like an uppercut to the chin, but with a foot.
There you go, Fogrim.
All right. and slightly in Foggy's head, he's like, this is revenge for the last days.
It's a little feeling of sorry, not sorry. Little in that vein.
What happens next?
Well, now that that's been taken care of, I really need to clarify something. Tessikar, who the hell were you talking to? That's not the god we chose. Who's the old one? What have you done?
Oh, yeah.
While I am super invested in this definite conflict between these two characters, I really want to resolve Fogrim kicking the shit out of Melusine.
I thought that was done. I thought that was pretty.
Sure. So Fogrim just lands, doesn't say anything?
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. Good to know.
Mel didn't say anything.
Mel is like mostly unconscious on the road. You uppercutted your cousin in the chin, laid her out. I really wanted to see how that ended.
Mel's like actually unconscious on the ground.
No, she's just laying.
How many hit points do you have left?
Yeah, 18.
So you did a third of one blow, did one third of your hit points.
She's just laying there contemplating the sky from this angle.
Hey, Mel.
Yes.
Remember when I asked you not to be underneath the cage? That's why. You okay?
No.
Oh. Sorry?
And she like rubs her chin slightly. She says to herself, I think it's going to be hard to sing for my supper tonight. But it is the way of the universe.
What is wrong with you two?
We should have left them in there.
It's about the same level of conversation the two of you had earlier when you were deciding to go to Blazing Dell.
Yeah, but at least when I met up with Tessikar, he didn't boot me in the face.
We've been together for a while. Like, Mel and I, I've had kind of...
I can tell.
Yeah.
We've been together for a while now, too.
Talking to the OG.
Geo!
Geo Metro,
hey,
the car.
Hey, great one. Great one.
You know what I appreciate about people?
Oh, God.
It's that the funniest of circumstances brings them together. And she brushes off herself and stands up and grabs out her lute and starts to strum a little song. I'm just going to do a cure wounds.
Okay. Yeah, you cure your wounds. The five of you are free in the crossroads of the road leading to Blazing Dell, is the Easter Road.
So Tessikar, tell us more about this weird thing you're talking about with these fingers.
Oh, right. Sorry, sometimes my brain's a bit addled.
I heard a tale about fingers once. Would you like me to tell it?
No, you can keep your finger story to yourself. got visited by Grandpa in a dream telling us to go get the gauntlet. And we need 5 stone hammers. And there's 5 of us. So, yeah, that kind of works out.
Would you like to hear the vision again?
Yeah. Here, let me tell you about this vision, guys. It went like this.
Dramatic fade scene.
You're all transported to a battlement.
Where you're transported to a battlement.
Where a stern and foreboding figure stands upon them, looking at Tessikar, who is not the stern and foreboding figure. He is, in fact, naked in front of a classroom. And Tessikar...
Hey, that's not how that went!
Oops, sorry, guess that's what you're saying now.
Wrong dream.
And Durgeddon the Black says, "A black shadow lies over my heart, my treasure, the gauntlet of the Stonehammers. It must be reclaimed. Only a Stonehammer can do this. 5 fingers make the fist, 5 Stonehammers it will take. 5 levels to descend, 5 choices must thou make. And more importantly, find the tooth of stone. To the summit must you climb. A finger of smoke will then be shown." That is the end of my rhyme. That's literally how Durgeddon says that. "There are many ways to enter the hidden redoubt, as the orcs and then the troglodytes proved so well so long ago. Take care and attend well to the warnings of the dwarven statues of your forebears."
And that's what he said!
I'm very impressed by your storytelling ability.
Try going up with him. It's awful.
You didn't grow...
Oh, whatever. So all of your characters are level 3 adventurers. And as we return to Blazing Dell, in order to acquire Fogrim and Melusine's equipment, because currently they are in very little clothing.
Fogrim doesn't really care.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't want any of your stuff?
Well, I don't know that going back to Blazing Dell is a good idea, considering we were arrested and left for dead.
All your stuff's in Blazing Dell.
I would like my instruments back, please.
Okay.
Do you remember the last time that you got super drunk and you ended up...
No, but I'd like to.
Well, let me tell you about that time.
Wait, you want to get drunk and naked again? Or you want
to
remember...
No, I'd like to remember. Wasn't that clear?
It was both clear.
You know what? Both could be true, though.
I would really like to see that happen.
So you got drunk because that horrible witch of a woman ended up breaking your heart. What was her name again?
Lucille.
Lucille. She was the worst. She never treated you right. She was always nagging you. But yet, when she broke up with you, you got super drunk. And then you ended up getting naked on the bar, doing a little jig, because in the end you were happy. Being naked and in your own skin is important. Understanding who you truly are, Foggy.
Right, and this continues the entire yeah. walk back to Placing Dell.
Great.
Do I ever get an answer to my question?
And we go back to the more important and difficult conversation between the twins.
Yes, yeah, so... When I left the temple place, I kind of made a bargain for some knowledge. It got zapped really old. And I made a pact. Have I ever mentioned I get really awkward in real life topic conversations? Okay, so yeah, I made a pact.
You get the feeling, Eldith, that Tessikar wants to start lying to you and not sharing any of these very deeply core-rooted questions about his own relationship, but because you're his twin, he doesn't think he can lie to you believably. And so is reduced
true.
To this stammering, confused individual. We can work on what happened with the pact and what you tell everyone as we go along. You've definitely been touched by the appendage of the old one. And a most...
Why do you say appendage?
His noodly goodness.
in a most sensitive and personal way. Oscar hasn't achieved that yet. It's coming. Did you want to say anything else to Eldith?
Yeah.
Can you say anything else to Eldith?
I like goats.
There you go. Yes, that is something you've definitely heard Tessikar say many times since you were a child.
That's typically what he says when he can't say anything else. It's his go-to. His go-to.
That was perfect.
Oh, no. Please say it ain't so.
So one of the requirements that I gave all of you guys as players was that at the start of this campaign, you're all level 3. And you all got to have a couple of magical items that I figured out, determined, and passed on to you. Make sure you remember your magic items. They're relevant. And I asked all of you to tell me a cliche, like the sort of inspirational thing you'd find on a meme picture or a GIF or something like Bruce Lee would say or Confucius would say for each of the levels that you've already achieved. So from level 1 to level 2, you learned a brief thing, and from level 2 to level 3. And I would just like to know what those things are and to let you know that this is an additional way in Tavern Tales to earn a story mote. That if you can find a way over the course of a game session to use your expression in a humorous and enlightening way to one of your comrades or to the rest of the party, I'll award you a story mote.
Does it have to be humorous?
Well, I would like to laugh. But if it's momentous and pivotal, then yes, it'll award you a story mote as well. So can I get everyone to read and recite to me and to the listeners your two lessons you learned from level 1 to level 2 and level 2 to level 3. And we'll start with Chelsea and we'll work our way clockwise around so that Aaron is the last to have to read his.
No, I just had a question.
Okay, cool.
Could it have been one that we just made up?
As long as it sounds like a cliche, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
Oh, good, because I made mine up.
Cool. I'm even more impressed if you came up with them yourselves. I thought Aaron was raising his hands like, can you pick me last so I can write them down right now?
I thought we had to make our own.
Sorry, guys. No, I thought for sure.
You guys get cliches. The brownie points from the GM.
After you read them to me, I will award every single one of you a white story mote and a blue mote, which allows you to have inspiration and advantage on a single check to start the game with. Okay. Begin.
Tessikar's two lessons that he learned. His first one was, whoever tries to bring you down is already below you. And his second one was, knowledge will give you power, but character respect.
Is that why you're so old right now?
Foggy's are, the first one is, absolute power corrupts absolutely, because he has some issues with authority. And
surprise, surprise.
And secondly, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Aww. As you saw, he is both a lover and a fighter.
I haven't seen the lover part yet.
Lucille.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We just talked about this.
I moved on.
You literally made it up with me, so.
I do that.
Was Lucille a dwarf, or was Lucille a halfling or a gnome?
Oh, dwarf.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first one that I'm used to playing a guy. The first one that Eldith learned as a she is... Do not jump on explosive to protect others. Find a different solution.
That's very specific.
And her second one that she learned was, purify food and drink offered by strangers or food found on the ground to avoid being poisoned.
Also very specific.
Eldith has had a lot of experience with different adventures around the world. And this is what she's learned.
My first one is, don't judge a book by its cover, because it really just reminded me of the last Tavern Tales campaign. And I was like, I'm sure that Melusine opened the wrong book and tried to read it and it had an explosive rune in it.
Don't jump on it.
very similarly. And then you are judged by the company you keep.
Yeah. All right.
So the first one that Oscar read was actually in a mountaineering guide. He was just found this book and he was reading it. And one of the tips it said, in the mountains, it is safe to eat the snow, but not the snow that is yellow. And the second one is, it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Aww.
It sounds like initially Oscar took a really long time to level up, and then he leveled up real quick.
He sure did.
With that second lesson, it was like two levels in one.
Don't eat yellow snow, kids.
just the ones.
You are all somewhat capable adventurers at this point. As you journey into Blazing Dell to collect your items from the prison, Lucille is standing at the prison itself. As the two of you walk up, she works there, of course, and is the one responsible for maintaining and keeping all of the valuables of those that are imprisoned. And she says, "Will I let you out early?"
Yes.
Make a deception check.
Guidance!
Yes, yeah! That's fine.
I should be the one deceiving them. Foggy!
20!
Oh, 4!
Not nat 20, but 20.
All right, was that including the 4 from the touch of the elder one?
Oh, no, not
elder
even
god?
That, so 24.
24, the touch of the elder god descends upon your shoulder.
It's going to be a thing.
Lucille completely believes this from you and Melusine, because Melusine's never lied to her, and you only lied to her once.
Yeah.
So she believes it and passes over your things to you right away and says, "Well, I hope you learned your lesson this time."
It's nice seeing you again, Lucille.
Whatever.
Hey, man, don't take it to heart. You know, whoever tries to bring you down, they're already below you.
I feel like you're stretching.
Yeah.
Like you just said that for the very first time tonight, and already you're like, look, I find it's applicable. Meanwhile, Oscar's looking for yellow snow to warn people. It's the heart of summer.
It's in this white stone thing on the ground.
Guys, I peed in this bag of flour. Don't eat it.
Don't eat the yellow flour.
Oh, God.
Lucille says, here are your things. I would live a long and happy life to never see your face again.
Oh, snap.
And I just turn and, like, lose about a foot in height just because I've hunched over so much in sorrow and slowly walk away.
Yeah, you take your things, though, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It takes a couple moments to collect all of your goods.
But I just
kind of
hunch over slowly as I'm gathering my things and just become smaller and smaller in stature.
And Lucille says, "I don't know why you're the sad one. You're the one who did the wrong."
Wait, what?
You're the one who had the affair.
No.
Yes.
Where's my popcorn?
That was weird.
It's like watching a movie.
Quietly in the background, you whisper that to Oscar.
Yeah.
All right.
This is getting good.
I have to do deception though. When I said that, no, just.
Oh, okay.
I'm totally lying.
Oh, you're lying. Okay. Yeah. Deception again. That's fine.
Guidance.
No. 17.
Yeah, she believes you again.
I never cheated on you, Lucille. I would never do that.
So you really were doing chiropractic on that gnome in our bed?
Yeah. How is she supposed to practice? You gotta start small.
Can I roll a deception check just for the hell of it?
That would be insight for you if you just want to know what the hell's going on.
I
mean, you're not
me
really
too,
lying.
I gotta know.
You guys,
all
right, can just I? Naturally natively win on the in the insight checks to see.
Okay, sweet.
You guys can see into this telenovela rather easily.
Oh my god.
Make another deception check, though. This one's, like, the difficulty's getting hard.
Oh, no. 10.
Okay, her passive insight score is higher than that. So she's like, glares at you. Just drops your pouch of gold or coins that you keep, which was a gift from her in the first 6 months of your relationship. It's really nice looking. Can you describe it for me?
Like this deep purple in color, but it's got a gold engraving on the outside. It's just kind of swirly with like leaves on it. And it's got the cinch around it is also golden color.
It falls into the dust. It's a little dirty. As you bend over to pick it up, she says, "No, I'm going to stand by my initial statement. I would like to never see your face ever again."
Okay. And then I've gathered all my stuff and now I'm going to slowly walk away.
Very sad.
Very sad.
It's a very sad moment. And Melusine doubtlessly ruins it. I have no idea what comment that'll be because Marie Claire stepped away. But the group of you are in Blazing Dell near the town center where there is a big white marble fountain. Baron Alphon's residence is up on the hill, and there is the mayor's residence just off this central courtyard. If there are any supplies or gear or whatnot that you guys would like to buy, Blazing Dell is open for you to acquire. Lucille says to Melusine, she says to Melusine, "You are very lucky that you were put out in the crossroads imprisonment for the time you were there, which was very short now that I think about it. Why would they have let you? Well, he didn't lie to me that time, or did he?" And she starts to question herself. But nonetheless, she does eventually spit out to Melusine and the rest of you who are still standing there, and Fogrim's probably over by the fountain and can still hear this, that there are some orc raiders that have been imprisoned in the prison itself that have been raiding the countryside and actually were responsible for killing some gnomish mushroom farmers just on the outskirts of town.
Well, that's not very nice. Have I mentioned I like goats? Sorry, I don't know what else to say.
Yep.
Were you actually talking to Lucille? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't even realize that you're standing far enough away that she doesn't even realize you're talking to her. Oh, she thinks you're just like shouting random
you're
stuff.
Just, like, standing in the middle of the room.
Melusine, you collected your stuff back from Lucille.
Okay.
Fogrim is sad.
Yeah.
Standing over by the fountain. The splashing from the fountain seems to have gotten on Fogrim's cheeks.
Yeah, that's
and,
what happened.
And there's wet. And Lucille has told the rest of the group that there are some, that you're lucky that you were out in the crossroad imprisonment because they captured some orcish raiders that have been imprisoned in the actual prison itself. And you probably wouldn't have wanted to have been in the same prison as an orc.
No.
They apparently had killed some gnomish mushroom farmers outside of town.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
I'm going to go stand next to Foggy and do the kindest thing I can do and not say anything at all. Just stand next to him. I'm just sitting there sad, pretending that I'm not crying. Yeah, that's what's happening. I'm going to ignore the tears and just stand and stare at the fountain with him.
Excellent. The water splashes you in the face too.
Cool.
Well,
I hand him one of my magic scarves that I've got in my entertainer's kit to wipe. Like a never-ending magic scarf? Yeah, no.
And it's all different colors.
He's on coming in, out and out, and I'm like, you could wipe your face with this endless. Oh, there's a blue one. Oh, there's a yellow. There's a purple. There's a red. It just keeps on going. I'm sorry. I grab some just to appease her, and I just touch my face with it, and I give it back. Thank you.
What are you guys going to do?
Well, I don't know. Should we go talk to some orcs? Or kill them?
They're in prison. I think they're good where they are.
We would have advantage.
You want to run into a prison full of orcs?
Or we could go into the prison and steal all their stuff.
Tessikar, do you think that these orcs have any connection to your vision that you had?
I don't know. Let me think about that for a second.
What is the angel on your shoulder saying?
It says...
That's a pretty scary angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us more about the goats.
My favorite goat, his name was...
Okay, no, I was kidding. Don't do
El Sugaroth.
I don't know how to process that.
You could ask Lucille more about them, maybe? I'm not there. But just an idea.
That means we can go in and talk.
Yeah.
Lucille! Lucille!
The fuck?
I'm sorry, my brother's kind of rude.
Sorry, miss? Mrs.? Miss?
You don't have to yell at her every time.
I'm not yelling, this is just how I talk.
She's still like 12 feet away.
Oh, right after her.
Standing in the lobby yelling her name.
Guys, I am awkward in social situations, okay? That's one of my things. Has that been made clear yet? So I walk up to Lucille, about 3 inches too close.
Oh my god.
Not knowing quite where the personal boundary lines are. And I look at her and ask her to give me some more information about these orcs that are in the prison.
What would you like to know?
I would like to know if they know where they came from.
The orcs have been raiding here for what seems like a little while now.
Oh.
Not into the town proper, just the farms and the whatnot and the acreages that are between here and the mountain.
So is there like an orc problem that's happening out there that you need us to, like, I don't know, do something about?
I don't need you to do anything. I just work at the prison as one of the attendants.
Cool, well, thank you. Okay, bye.
But the sheriff of Blazing Dell may be interested in deputies to go out and look into these matters. Are you related to Fogrim?
He's a very distant cousin.
You have the same nose.
Yeah, it's a family thing. That just kind of is there.
It's kind of bothering me.
Oh, sorry. Let me fix that.
Prestidigitation on my nose.
What color is your nose now?
Can it also do minor illusion, like very minor?
No, just change the color. See if you should like that better.
I can make it blue for you.
You can create a non-magical trinket or illusionary image that can fit in your hand and last till the...
It can
fit in my hand. Doesn't mean it has to be
nose?
In my hand.
So I can just go...
See, like an eye patch for your nose? No, like, are you creating a fake nose to put over your
I'm
nose?
Yeah, and then putting it on top and making it like a regular nose.
So it's a bigger nose?
Yeah, but a different shape. She had a problem with the shape.
And now it's this massive nose on your face.
Just...
It's like you just made the toucan Sam nose. All right, sure. You create a fake nose. What do you say to cast this spell?
Rhinoplasty.
Sorry.
Oh boy.
And this fake nose appears in your hand, which you hastily put on.
I like slightly turn away from her so she's not seeing this. And then I like whisper into my hand,
rhinoplasty.
Definitely sounded like you yelled it. Which is wonderful color too. And you turn around and say,
is that better?
Sure. I mean, it's weirder.
Well, if it helps, I like the color of your hair.
What color is her hair?
It's this beautiful dirt-like color of brown.
Beautiful dirt.
Sure.
The
yeah.
most beautiful dirt. I mean, dwarves
like rock and dirt and stone and
we
stuff.
We like stones.
So,
yeah.
Absolutely. Is it pleated? Is it braided? Is it just wild?
It's just wild.
She brushes her hair back with the back of a well-calloused hand and says, thank you. Anything else?
I think I should go talk to the sheriff. And yeah, no, that's it.
Well,
he starts backing up kind of awkwardly. And then like at the 10-foot mark where he's just like,
you're also kind of pretty.
And he books it towards the sheriff where the sheriff was.
Did you yell that?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have issues.
Yelled it.
She looks at him appraisingly in the posterior. And shrugs and goes back to what she was doing before. The other people in the town square notice this extremely weird interaction with 5 dwarves, which is way more than this town is used to. There are only 3 dwarves in town, typically. And you're all standing by a fountain. What would you like to do?
Well, I'm already headed towards the sheriff, so...
Do you know where the sheriff is?
I thought she pointed the way. Did she not point the way?
No, she did not.
I'm currently looking around for signs that says sheriff.
You definitely see a sign that says the mayor's.
Oh, I'm going to head there.
And there's an inn nearby as well.
Let's not talk to the mayor. Let's go to the inn.
Okay. By the way, I will also point out, your character talks about goats all the time. And your character is also a worshipper of the Great Old One.
He's a goat.
So I would like to show you the black goat, Shub Niggurath. And I will just pass this around.
Your character reminds me of the one guy from a police academy. It's hard to grasp what it is.
I don't even know what I'm looking at.
You go into the inn.
We get into the inn.
I look over at my twin and we're telepathically having a little conversation because that's what twins do.
Yep.
Even though we haven't been in communication for a long time. And I just ask her, I'm like,
so generally you're the smarter one.
Tessicar, why are you in my head right now?
I got this group together and don't know exactly what we should do, but I thought I should ask you because you generally have good ideas. So, yeah.
Okay, number one, can you stop putting your voice in my head, please? It's kind of rude without asking. And I feel like this is something that we should be talking about as a group. So I don't know why you're not just saying it out loud.
Well, you're just mean, but okay.
Do you say that out loud? Or yeah. Okay. Oh. I feel like I missed something there.
Absolutely. I think everyone feels like they missed something.
What?
But your voices are drowned out by the carousing and happy patrons of the inn as you walk in there. There is a bartender pouring pints of beer, and there are a number of figures inside seeming to be together. They are the only people in the inn at this time, and they are all celebrating. There is a half-orc who seems to be the most boisterous and happy, and he is cheering the rest of the group about a great victory that they've had. There is a human woman in there as well, and a couple of other guards, one of which is a half-elf, and two other humans.
Have I been in this inn before?
Oh, yes. This is the inn where you do all of your singing and practicing. And
part of being an entertainer background is that I can come back to an inn that I've performed at before and get free food and things like that for performances.
Okay.
I'm going to be there.
But how's your jaw feeling?
Do you want a straw for it?
Sometimes we must suffer for our art.
Oh, good one.
So I'm going to go up and see if they're interested in hearing some songs.
The people celebrating or the barkeep?
The barkeep.
The barkeep is pouring beer. We'll get back to that in a second. What are the rest of the party doing?
Tessicar is going to walk up to the bar and he is going to put down whatever it costs to get a beer.
Okay. What are you up to, Oscar?
Oscar's going to set up a table and he's going to set up a game of three-card Monty. See if he can try and take some money from people using his deck of cards.
Okay.
I'm going to join Tessicar and get a pint.
And Eldith is also going to go sit by Tessicar, but instead, she's not ordering a beer. She's going to talk to him about the conversation that he had with Lucille.
All of you here, without even having to make a check, what they are partying and celebrating about as you walk up, those individuals seem to all be part of the guard, the sheriff, the constable, and their deputies, and they're all celebrating the successful imprisonment of two orcs and the slaying of the others just outside of town when they rushed to the defense of the unfortunate Numblefoots who perished in their homes, this gnomish family. But they're really happy with themselves right now. The barkeep nods to Mel and indicates that if you would like to perform this evening, your a room and board will be set aside for you, of course.
Ooh.
Takes Tessicar's money, places 4 pints of beer in front of Tessicar for the 4 dwarves that are all standing there. The 5th dwarf, he does not notice setting up a tricksy game in the corner at the moment. And with so much promise and so much more to be had in the Forge of Fury, we will leave off for this session and hope with fervent wish that you all actually make it to the dungeon next game.
I don't know. I had fun.
And with that, we'll call a close to game one of the Forge of Fury.
Thank you.
GG.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.